One of the very definite ways we need the Lord Jesus Christ is to be reliable. I want to talk to you about a verse in Isaiah 33, verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Instability is the curse of our times. The reason we have so many delinquents at bottom is because of the instability of their mothers and fathers. Some instability is to do with loving money. Some, we would love to feel ourselves stable, but really all of us are unstable. We're governed by circumstances when the wind blows fresh and soft, or whether there's a howling gale. We're governed by all sorts of instincts and things that we can't altogether govern. And around us, our times are growing more and more chaotic. On Friday, there was a massive march of Muslims through Washington DC to the White House to appeal to their fellow Muslim, Obama, to stand up for them, pointing out that America had never been a Christian country and wasn't now, and now is the time to get rid of all this business of favouring Christianity. It is moving. The times we're in are thoroughly unstable, and we need to think very carefully about the stability of our times. You see, it's not just that the times are unstable and that we are unstable, but things are getting more and more unstable. Now look what God says if we want stability. It's a very simple thing. The commentators say these first six verses in Isaiah of 33 are some of the most difficult anywhere to fix where they come. But when you look, it's not very difficult to fix them. It starts off with a woe. And this is to those who make life unstable. Woe thou that spoilest and was not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. He uses two words about those who are unstable. First, that they are destroyers, and second, that they are treacherous. They're traitors. And traitorousness has been the mark of the last 50 years of this country. We have been betrayed, we have been again and again by governments, by people, by manipulation, by lack of true knowledge. We've been betrayed time after time. Now, if you want stability, it starts by looking squarely at those who are spoiling the stability and understanding what God thinks about them. Now, what happens is, God says that they have done something and God won't forget it. Now, what is it they've done? Well, the people he's talking about are the Assyrians. They are not Syrians, and not to be muddled with Syria. They had an empire which stretched from where Abraham was born, around the Fertile Crescent, and at its greatest took up all the northern part of Egypt. And Israel was caught in the middle of that. So these people ruled. Who were they? They were a mighty empire. They lived by war. We have found all their palaces in various places. German, French and English archaeologists have dug among them. And what they have found is this. These people delighted in war. They absolutely adored war and went to war as often as possible every year. From the war they took immense spoil and captives. With those captives, they built the most wonderful palaces and buildings and very, very great architecture. So they had places, the best known of their capitals was not Calneh or the others, but the Nineveh capital. And there they spoiled nations and amassed wealth and murdered people freely, even the innocent. They were a very cruel people. They were so cruel and so rapacious and so warlike that they're reckoned to be the most of those things until the Romans came, who were even more cruel and rapacious and warlike than the Assyrians. They were a dreadful group. Now, what happened was this. They invaded, and King Hezekiah decided to stand against them, and he fortified his cities. But they came up like a flood, says Isaiah, and they swept through the whole land, and we have pictures of their doing the most horrible things to the inhabitants of Lachish, the other great Israeli stronghold. And as they swept through the land, they sent messengers, and Hezekiah sent back and said, you can read it all in 2 Kings 18, he said, I have rebelled and I've sinned and I offer terms of peace. And they said they wanted treasure. And they took treasure unlimited. He cut the treasure and gold off the temple. He cut every bit of treasure he had anywhere and gave it to them. Liars they were. Cheats and thieves. All they did at that point was went back on their word. They were traitors. And God noted it. They were noted traitors. People who don't keep their word in treaties and won't keep to the covenants they've made are traitors. And so God calls them treacherous. They dealt treacherously with Hezekiah. And God says, woe to you. Woe to you for what you've done to Israel. Woe to you for what you've done to Hezekiah. I intend to deal with you. So then, the first thing we can learn about the stability of our times is God is watching those who do destroy it and has pronounced a woe on them. And there will be a woe in this life. I'm not talking about beyond this life. When you talk about nations, you're talking about what God does here and now. God doesn't say that there are nations in the afterlife, or that there are any ways of dealing with nations beyond the grave. Nations receive their rewards and punishments here. And God said, woe to you. Alas, he says when he looks at them. Now, in God's eyes, that's already happened. And he says this. When thou shalt cease to spoil, it means when you get too weak to go on, and that happened to them when they had internal fighting among themselves for the throne, thou shalt be spoiled. God says, I'll deal with you exactly as you've dealt with others. Those who proudly boast they have a religion with an honor that cannot be gainsaid and has to go everywhere in the world and all belongs to it will find that God deals with them according to their own coin. Those who plant bombs on others will find that they get Pakistan full of bombs and Iraq and Syria and everywhere. Bombs follow those who bomb. God deals with people as people deal in nations, and it will be worse. It isn't just Banu, and it isn't just the northern towns like Peshawar. God deals with those who deal according to their own coin, and they get it back again in full measure. So God says here, when thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. Destroyed, he means. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, because you can't do it anymore, they shall deal treacherously with thee. The Babylonians rammed their way through the Assyrians. The Babylonians had many grievances, and they took them out on the Assyrians when they went, so much so that the Assyrian capital Nineveh was lost. Napoleon marched near to it with his troops, and he never knew it was there, although he longed to know things like that. And many a conqueror passed that way and only saw sand dunes and never knew there was a huge world capital underneath, which had once ruled the known world with mighty power. God dealt treacherously with those who dealt treacherously, and that's what he does then. So then we can be sure the stability of our times is that God is watching the nations, what they're doing, and going to repay them to their face in their own coin. That is the first thing that Isaiah is teaching about stability. But the whole thing is built on prayer. In verse 2, O Lord. Now he starts verse 1, woe to thee. And then he starts verse 2, Adonai, the powerful, mighty Lord. O Lord, be gracious unto us. Now when we look at the Church of God today, the Church of God is in such a destruction and a mess that you wonder God could ever do anything to it, and you feel it must be put right before God can ever bless again. What Isaiah says is, be gracious unto us. He says, Lord, deal with us by grace and mercy and not by our deserving. Lord, be gracious unto us. And that he means Israel. Here is Israel. The enemy is at the gates. They've swept right up to the doors of Jerusalem. Massive spears and spearmen built like oxen, and their red tunics and gold armor and serried ranks of men who live by war and have lived all their lives by war, drawn up all round Jerusalem, talking through Rabshakeh about all the things that they'd give them. They wouldn't give them, they'd murder them once they got out the door. They were murderers born and murderers bred, and they lived by murder. And there they were at the gate, and Isaiah lifts up his prayer. Oh Lord, be gracious unto us. We deserve everything we've got. Just have mercy. We have waited for thee. Who's waited? Well, he's identifying himself with the people, and we do too. I don't differentiate between myself and the other people in Britain. If I hadn't been converted, I'd have gone their way. I'd have fallen for all the traps they've fallen for. I wouldn't have been any different, nor would you. We aren't different to them. We may boast ourselves and dress ourselves and congratulate ourselves, but it makes no difference at all. He says, we have waited for thee. Now what we're waiting for is for God to overthrow our enemies and take our part. And that is the stability of our times. And we wait in prayer for God to do it. People say we should be outdoing everything. All sorts of ideas they have, radios and everything else you can imagine. The one thing we need is stability. Your stability is more important than all the swaying around of the whole world. God intends you to be stable. Not a pudding, nor just a lump of rock, but stable through all the vicissitudes of life, through all the changing scenes of life, the hymn puts it. You be stable, be reliable, so that people when they meet you will say, like somebody said to my mother, always like meeting you because you're always the same when you meet you. You never change, you don't have moods and are different. And that is the simple truth. What we need is Christians who are stable. We have waited for thee. Now then he changes, and this is a thing that Hebrew does frequently, to the third person, there. Now, it's not a remarkable thing in Hebrew. It's not something strange. And he says, be thou their arm every morning. He takes a step back from the people and speaks as if they were, as he was speaking to them. Be thou their arm. Now look, an arm is different to a salvation. Be thou their arm means uphold them and be the strength behind them. They don't know it, but this country would have been destroyed by Hitler long ago. Do you know that when the nation had a prayer day in the war, Churchill himself said that he felt some hand behind him, guiding him in his decisions, which was divine. And there was first a massive storm which broke up the German air attack which was coming, and then there was a massive calm which got our troops out of Dunkirk. God acted. When the Armada came, whatever nonsense is talked on the BBC today, the medal Queen Elizabeth struck was God blew and it was scattered. They were coming to land at Weymouth, God blew and blew them away. We couldn't have stopped them with our little ships. And when they ended up in the Calais roads and they put the fire ships among them, God blew and they were driven north where the Dutch sea beggars got hold of them. And when they were chased by the Dutch sea beggars, they made for the north with their ruined ships as fast as they could. And they fell on the worst storms you could imagine. The people of Aberdeen said that elderly Spaniards in a group came from a ship to them and said to them, we've no provisions, we've nothing. So they bowed low, will you help us? And they said, we said, though you're our enemy, God has told us to help even our enemy and feed him, so we will feed you. And they fed them. But when they got to the northern Cape Wrath and the difficult days, ship after ship was destroyed. And as they went round Ireland, the east of Ireland, the Irish fell on them. As the stragglers came ashore, they murdered them and plundered them. The Irish treated them worse than anyone else. And the fact is that a few limped home. And that was the end of it. God blew. Now we look for God to come in. In the days of James II, he made a plot, which was called the Rotten Plot, to reintroduce popery. He had the whole thing lined up. He intended to do it. He offered free churchmen, all free churchmen, including Roman Catholics, religious toleration. The people, like the later Puritans, were most suspicious. And they said, he's not offering us toleration at all. What he's doing is getting Rome back and wanting to get us on side. So they refused his toleration. And it broke up. And he had to flee within 3 weeks as Prince William landed. The fact is that time and again, God has saved our nation. Now I say that because the arm of the Lord is behind this, and that is the stability of our times. Not these fool governments we have, and their stupid pronouncements, and their wicked laws, and their foolish giving in to people who intend to eat us up and devour us. But to God, his arm. And then it says more, our salvation also in time of trouble. And we've gone through that. Then it goes on, at the noise of thy tumult, the people fled. Is that the crashing of God's thunder? I don't believe it. It's the noise of their enemies. The Babylonians came upon them with mighty noise, great noise, and the people fled. The stoutest warriors in Nineveh just wilted like women before them. They couldn't stand them. They fled. And the lifting up thyself, the nations were scattered. You see, the nations said, the Assyrians said particularly, they peopled the earth with a sort of Star Wars. with sort of gods and dragons and all sorts of things. Their main god was their king and his gods. And they worshipped them at great length and with great cruelty. But these, God, it says here, God is saying, you think I've gone to sleep. That's what Islam thinks, the God of the Christians is asleep. That's what the atheists think, the God of the Christians is asleep. That's what the evolutionists think, the God of the Christians has taken a nap and deserted them. There's nothing left. God says here, at the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. That's part of the prayer. All this is part of the prayer. We need to pray that God will lift himself up again and come like a mighty man, it says, who's been drinking, who suddenly stands up, like the Lord Jesus who spoiled the strong man's goods. We need God to stand up again for us and come with mighty power. His arm is behind us. We want his salvation by him himself intervening on our behalf. And that is what we pray for. And it says, and your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. That's the young locust, or the grub of the locust. At the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. It's not at all clear what the words mean, whether God spoils them, or whether this is a description, much more likely, of how the Assyrians themselves are spoiling the nations. And it says here, the running to and fro of locusts. They came with unstoppable force. You remember in Revelation how it describes the locusts advancing, and they had the hair of women, and they had the faces of lions, and they came, and when you stopped them, they climbed over the walls and through the windows, and you couldn't stop them. That's exactly like any power once God's hand is behind it. Nothing stops them. Death doesn't stop them. You can make your ditches and get your blowtorches and get all the locusts into them and kill them, but they still come on in an ever increasing tide. I remember once seeing the locusts flying up a valley where we had an army camp, and they came all morning and they darkened the sun, and they were coming straight from Saudi Arabia over into Khartoum, and the whole sky was darkened in the whole morning. They got bigger and bigger, the flocks. They were huge. And the stragglers of them were all around us, descending on anything green. Massive flocks of them. They come in enormous numbers. I've never forgotten. All that morning they came, and right into the afternoon, with the wind behind them. A terrible horde. Well now, that is what happens. And so he says, the Lord is exalted. He says God's above all this. You can have your King God and all the rest. You can gather against Jerusalem. God is high above all this, and he's watching you. He's watching. He dwelleth on high. And it says he has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Those are the stability of our times. He has filled you and made you a block of salt. So you don't move with the times, you don't move with the other people around, and you stand your ground. You don't move the ancient landmarks or depart from the old paths. You don't set your watch by the town clock, but you set it by heaven. And you live a life which is set by the Bible, a stability to it, and not by what's around us. That is the great need of Christians today. He's not talking about the rest of the country, but the Church of God. And he hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of the times. Wisdom is seeing a thing from the outside, understanding where it's going and that. Knowledge is seeing a thing from the inside and understanding how it works and what happens with it. There's the difference between the two words. Now, what makes you stable is, first of all, understanding what God will do, that he's already done it in his eyes. He's speaking in the past tense. It's happened in his prophetic vision. And the second thing is prayer. Like that prayer, that God will deal with his enemies. And the third thing is that God will give us wisdom and knowledge. All wisdom, all knowledge is hid in Christ. You need Christ more than you ever needed him before. Your life is hid in Christ. Christ is our life. And when he shall appear, we shall appear also with him in glory. What is needed is that totally wise one, that holy one, full of wisdom and full of the inner understanding of knowledge. He understands men and their workings. He understands nations and their workings. He understands all heathen religion and its workings. He understands all atheism and its workings. Everything. He understands you and me through and through. That is the wisdom and knowledge we need, and it's gained from the Word of God. Now there it is indeed before us, and it's the stability of the times. Today it is, and forever it will be. The greatest thing you will ever give to this country is your stability. There's nothing else can give it. You can give it. And it says, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. God has given you strength in salvation. When God saved you, he made you strong. He made you a brazen pillar against all they say against you. He filled you with strength. He filled you with his own spirit, the spirit of wisdom and power, the spirit that is the comforter who stands beside us to guide us. Now what is said here is very plain indeed. And he is their treasure. He is everything we have laid up in heaven, a better and an enduring substance. Therefore we let the world go by and we walk on. I want to just end here. There's no one stable like the Lord Jesus. And every moment you depart from him, your instability will show. It'll show horribly. Just stay with him. Amen.